Whether you're a Class 5 rafter or just looking for a couple of laughs, these two have you covered. Welcome to Aaron and Zach's Better Than Mediocre Rafting Show.
Well, happy Friday. Welcome to Aaron and Zach's Mediocre Rafting Show. Something we do every Friday, usually at 2 o'clock. If you're listening to this on River Talk Podcast, it's because we stripped the audio off and we put it on the podcast for those of you that don't want to watch the show, which is weird to me. You should watch it. But if you just want to listen to it, you can listen to this. You may be listening to this on River Talk Podcast. And yeah, welcome. How you doing, Aaron?
Great. How about yourself?
Okay. We have some, I have some video to go over today, some cool video. But before we do, I want to ask you some advice or a question.
Well, let's back up. Just let everyone know where you are right now.
Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, there's lots of good paddling in Orlando, right?
I mean, there's not like whitewater paddling. There's not, but there's a lot of canoeing.
Did you do some canoeing?
No.
I went to what outdoor stuff have you done since you've been there?
Nothing. I've talked about it a lot.
You went to the Star Wars place?
I went to Galaxy's Edge, Disney World. That was cool. I walked around outside.
I'm going to say this. America Outdoors, like, they choose, like, Vegas and Florida. Like, what? Don't want they choose someplace like, you know, like Jackson, Wyoming, like Wyoming, someplace with some outdoor stuff you can actually do.
We
can
go First of all, before I answer this question, just so people know, America Outdoors is a national conference for outdoor companies. So for river outfitters, mountain bike companies, that kind of thing, right? And so the answer is complicated. I mean, Jackson Hole would be super sweet, but you have to find a location where you can have conference rooms and a vendor area and is affordable. Like, we could do Jackson, but rafting companies can't afford that convention center. So these are usually the lower end convention centers off season. They're not, we don't usually go to cool places. Next year's Phoenix.
Okay then.
Phoenix has a decent point. I mean, Phoenix, and then after that's Chattanooga. That's a town.
Ooh, the Chattanooga. Yeah. That sounds way better. I'd be much more interested in that one.
We do it. We've done it in Salt Lake before, and people go skiing, which is rad.
Yeah,
Salt Lake. You get there early, ski a few days.
Yeah.
Maybe take like half a day off and go skiing.
Where you are, you go to Disneyland.
I mean, when in Rome, right? Like, I've always wanted to go to Star Wars World, so I went to Star Wars World. But you know, these conferences, honestly, like, I've been inside for the past 5 days. I've been outside to walk from my room to the conference center. So, you know, there's actually an outdoor bar. So I was outside a little bit because there's an outdoor bar, but that's about it. Okay, you ready for my question?
Yeah.
Okay, so check out this high side throwback I got.
Ooh, that looks really nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like, I think it's modern. You know, there's like modern throwbacks.
Can you pivot to your left a little bit? No, pivot the whole thing the other way. Go pivot the other way. No. So it's all blinded by the light. Like, pivot your camera so you don't have the. Okay. Yeah, you don't get it. There you go. A little farther. Yeah.
That's
better. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There
anyway,
you go.
This is it. And yeah, this is a riveting show we're putting on. Anyway, it's got like the thing a modern throwback should have. Like, not like a big loop hanging down, like something that's not a hand entrapment at the bottom. A place to put a carabiner that's attached to this.
That's kind of clever the way they have that set up so you can get that. That's actually really well done. Yeah, really one of the best improvements I've seen on a throwback.
Yeah. You could put a carabiner in here. So you have a carabiner already attached, which is really smart. But it's also padded. So if you throw the bag at something that hits them, it's not probably not going to hurt them as bad. There's no clean land principle things. Unless you can fit your hand through that, which you probably can't. I can't. Maybe I can. Oh, actually, if I try really hard, I can, but whatever. This is nice and simple. Really nice, wide opening, easy to open. I'm digging this rope. You have to see it, but I'm digging this rope. It's a sweet throwback. I'm
pretty stoked. It's pretty nice.
It's among the best one, probably the best one American manufacturers make. Right? There's a lot of international.
Can I say my concerns with it?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to touch it?
It's colorful.
Yeah, that's good. How are you supposed to attach it to your raft?
This. That's what this is for.
Yeah, I worry about it pulling out. It looks pretty flimsy.
I
think for private boaters, it's fine. Outfitting, I would be a little concerned about it.
It's actually not flimsy. It's pretty bomber.
Really?
This is yeah, it's actually really bomber. It's good material. This is well done. This is what I think the other throw bags that don't have a way to attach it to a raft. Where I think
why did they make it so big? Why did they make it? I think they could have made it a lot smaller though. And they could definitely make it smaller. Issues. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other smaller, thing too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And smaller, then the other thing is, I like where could you use that clip and clip that clip around something? Because sometimes you don't have a. When you're a cheap scumbag, one of the problems is when you're a river guide is sometimes you lose your carabiners. Outfitters definitely never provide carabiners, so you need your own carabiner.
Oh, come on. Anyway.
And so it's nice when they have a clip, you can just clip them around something if you need
you,
to.
You kind of could.
Particularly like, oh, you threw it here. I used it here on this boat and I stepped away. Now what do I do with it? Oh, I can clip it off and it's good.
You could maybe get this around it, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
I'd recommend keeping this to tie the rope down. I'd use this to tie it onto a
it's nice. Stuff. It's nice. I like the clip thing. That's my.
It's actually a waist belt. It came with the waist belt. I'm not.
That looks like the junky type of waist belt, though, huh?
No, the waist belt's in there. I didn't bring it in. The waist belt's actually really sweet.
You have a loop on you on the waist belt. That's not so good. That's why the loops. That's why the loops the size is so you can grab and pull it out.
I think I have to go. Maybe. I'll talk about the waist belt later. It's a cool throwback, but my question is, so at the show, the guys at Highside gave it to me, and they're like, hey, you should review it on the show, which is a new thing. People have been giving me things and saying, hey, you should review this, and it's really hard to be honest sometimes.
I don't take stuff. I only purchase stuff.
I'm taking it. Well, I've been buying – I mean, everything I usually buy, like I've been spending a lot of money on stuff to review, but lately I've been getting free stuff like this from –
I'm curious to hear from people who are watching about what's best practices on this. If we really want to be like, nonpartisan, you know. Now anytime you talk about Highside now, I'm gonna be like, remember that throwback they gave you, Zach? Anytime you say anything about the rafts, anything like that, I'll be like, remember that throwback they gave you, Zach?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't trust you anymore about Highside stuff now that they gave you the throwback that you're pretty psyched on.
I mean, and honestly, like, because they gave me something, just to be really honest, they're really nice guys, and they gave me something, and so I'm not going to reciprocate that by talking trash about them ever. Like, I probably am way less likely
to
talk about them the way I talk about other manufacturers.
Yeah, like NRS. If NRS gave you some free stuff, you'd probably be a lot nicer to them.
I am nice to NRS. They have given me some free stuff.
Oh, they have. And that's how you stuff. Well, then I don't think we have to worry because you aren't that nice to NRS. So
I probably should be nicer. I think, I don't remember that part of it. But anyway, I just want to get your thoughts. Like,
it looks like a nice throwback.
Yeah.
But
I'm pretty soaked on it, actually.
I mean, I'm going to say this, Zach. Haven't sent it to me.
Okay. Let's see. Maybe if you drink. You will be more honest.
Oh, we can make it that drinking show, like the drinking history, the drunk history. Have you ever seen that show? Have you seen the show?
Yeah. People ask about the show a lot. They're like, do you guys drink beer? And we're like, no, we don't.
It seems like we do, but yeah.
At least I will stay honest, but there is certainly like a subconscious thing where it's kind of hard if somebody gives you something to then honestly say things you don't like about it. It's actually hard to do.
I'm gonna say this too. There's a years ago I did this trip for this company was releasing a new river shoe, mm-hmm. and so they want to use us to do the trip with the shoe, and the shoe sucked.
Was it that Astral sandal?
It wasn't Astral. It was a shoe from a company that I don't think makes river shoes anymore. I don't even know if they're in existence. I forget their name even, but. I mean, we're in rock garden and we had a couple boats get stuck and you get out and you're like slipping, eating it. And like a couple of people were like, I'm going to put on my other shoes. And, you know, and so, but anyways, the shoes were not good. They were dangerous actually for river stuff. And these people who were on the trip were all writers who wrote for different magazines and it was paid for by the company. And some of them had already written articles about how great the shoe was and they never even tried it.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Yeah. What the gear reviews on these you know on this Aaron, magazine? I got to read the review when I got off, and I'm like,
Aaron, this is how media works. Aaron, that's how media works. Media does that all the time. Like that's what PR people do. They get you to write about a thing.
Before you've even seen it.
Yeah, Yeah, all the time. All the time.
I was just like, I was so disappointed. I was because and the shoes were dangerous. I was like, these shoes are like afterwards we're like, yeah, these are dangerous. Like they
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. If they're not paying you, it's all good.
So if they give it to me.
What happens if they give Zach a raft, a high side raft?
Why not be tactfully straightforward, no mincing words? What does that even mean?
Well, I think one thing is Zach, if you do it, say, hey, we at the beginning say, Highside gave me this throwback to review. I think that's
it. Just start with like, they gave it to me. And I want to share my thoughts about it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of doing right now.
And I think that's a key part is, and maybe that's what Heidi's talking about, is being straightforward and just saying, don't pretend like you went and bought it or something like, hey, they sent this to me to review. So,
yeah,
I like them already because they sent me the gear. Let's be honest here.
It's interesting because this comes up too because somebody gave me the app for the Grand Canyon. Did I tell you about that?
No.
Are you looking at the comments again?
Always.
Dude, so somebody gave me this app for the Grand Canyon. It's like a map app. And they're friends of mine. They're like, hey, would you use it on the Grand Canyon? Why don't you try it out? No pressure. So I took it on the Grand Canyon. I used it. I made a video about it, a good bunch of video about the app and how much I liked it. I don't think I said in the review that they gave it to me. I think I just like, hey, this is a cool app. And then somebody commented. He's like, you really need to tell us whether this is sponsored or not. And I'm like, nothing's sponsored. I'm not like nobody gives me money to do anything, but I think he really wanted to make sure I authentically liked it, and I wasn't just like saying that because I was given money to say that, which is it's new to the channel, it's new to the world that we're in.
I think at the moment with the stuff we're talking about too, like you already have so many throwbags, them giving you a throwback, yeah, it makes you feel a little good, but it's not like
I don't need more throwbacks.
It's not like, well, you know, what we're talking about is all this stuff with all those people talking about how great crypto was because they're making all that money. This is where this is all starting from, where people are making. It'd be cool. I would sell out for that much probably, but, you know, we're not talking about
the
money. So.
Yeah, when FTX wants to sponsor us, we'll probably sell out.
If we're starting to talk about how great FTX is, know that they've been paying us. So,
but the one thing that's on Highside's part, thank you, Highside. I appreciate it. Super nice of you guys. Super generous. I'm appreciative. We'll put this in our training classes now. You know, like we'll now when we teach private boaters or do IRF classes.
A fair use. They get to try it out. And I think that's a whole different case. Just having out there as an option, and you're not saying, "Hey, this is the one," but like try them out, check them out. Yeah.
So Jeffrey, so like if they give it to me, I should disclose it. Even if they just give it to me.
I think that's what you're saying. Yeah. Any benefits you receive from the company.
Yeah.
And I think in the future, when you talk about Highside Raps, you have to say, you know, one time they did give me a throwback. Or Highside, I think maybe how often you're getting stuff. If they're routinely sending you stuff, you'd be like, you know, hey, just to let you guys know, Highside does give me some stuff fairly often. So
not fairly often, once. But I have to say,
if they do,
if it sucked, I wouldn't take it. I bet people want to give me stuff, and I'm just like, no, I don't even. No, thanks. I'm pretty direct with people. Somebody wanted to give me a dry suit once, and I was like, nah, I'm good.
I think we remember we talked about that, and I was like, what the? Why not? And you're like, no, I don't want it.
Because there's like strings, you know, there's strings attached to it, and and I already have a dry suit. Okay. So, but maybe we'll get you a dry suit, Aaron. You can deal with the strings. You ready to? Yeah, I mean, we do this all the time. We do our best. I mean, Mark, you know, we have a whole bunch of different types of rafts. I have a whole bunch of different throw bags, especially in the class four schools. We try to have as much diversity of equipment as possible to do.
And I think that's a really good point for if you are a throwback company trying to sell your throwbacks, it's a good idea to spread them around and send them out to those different courses, teaching different places that are teaching courses.
Yeah.
So they can check them out. Just send them one.
Yeah. I mean, we've been given a few frames, you know, by different frame manufacturers. Like, and I explained to them, I go, hey, people do a class that doesn't buy stuff. And so if you gave it to us, we'd use it and people would get to try it. So we've been given a few frames and things like that.
Well, that all makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to do some video review?
Are we talking about Bedrock some more?
Yeah, we're talking.
So I've updated my informal survey.
What's your informal survey?
I just asked more people about what they think of Bedrock. This is a classic. This is exactly what Billy Prosser, I talked to Billy Prosser about it this morning, and I talked to Ali Greco today, and then I talked to Robbie a couple days ago about it. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much all say it's class three.
Cause they're all, you're mentioning all people who I respect, first of all, but they're also snooty commercial boaters.
No, but here's the deal.
They're all class five ballers.
Ali Greco is not class five. Ali Greco is not a class five boater. That's why I checked with her.
She's a good boater.
She's a good boater for sure.
Okay.
She is. Now, Billy made this comment. She's like, to not get in trouble at Bedrock, you have to be able to hold an angle.
That's true.
Class three boaters should be able to hold an angle.
False.
If you can't hold an angle, you should be able to hold it.
Aaron, there's holding angle in class three, and there's holding angle in class four. Like
a
class two boater can't hold an angle in every rapid. This is a difficult angle.
This isn't about pulling hard. This isn't about timing. This is just like, and she said, and I think it's true. You just have to be able to hold an angle.
It's a difficult angle to hold. I did watch people hold the angle, but they entered in the wrong place and or didn't have enough power. I watched people hold the angle, but it wasn't enough. So like,
well, this person that we're watching right here, Billy's thing is totally true. The person came and hold an angle.
Okay, here's what you have to do to run. You have to be in the right place with the right angle.
Okay, right place, I'd say the right space. You have to be on the right side of the river.
You have to be in the correct position.
That's and have that's the right angle. Class three. Class three, you can't
and hold it.
You can't go with your eyes.
You can. Aaron.
What class are rapid can you go
right position, right angle, hold the angle, and there's a pretty dramatic consequence of a mistake. It is hands down class four.
Who besides you say it's class four?
People have commented. They're like, yeah, you're right, Zach.
Really?
I don't know. People. People who are not just like super baller guides.
But I think I also think, Zach,
it is not class
four. If you can't guide class four or class five, how can you tell what the spectrum is, anyways? If you don't know what it is, you don't know what it takes to do those other things, how can you say that's that? I think for you to be able to speak up and say, hey, this is this, you've got to understand what class three skills
are regularly making these mistakes.
Well, I think
it's above a class three skill set.
No, but I think the bigger problem, there's two problems. I think, first of all, a lot of people don't have class three rowing skills.
Sawyer, keep it to yourself, by the way. I don't want to hear your
Sawyer, don't agree. Three plus. No, I mean, I'll give it three plus.
And I'll go four minus.
How about minus?
Nope. I'm a four minus plus. Like I'm on the high end of four minus.
So something else that I think that another thing that I was going to say is there is another problem. I think, you know, these outfitters that outfit the private Grand Canyon trips are fantastic. Uh-huh. I love using them, but it's made it so accessible. I think there's a lot of people getting out there now who don't have the skills. And I think that's one of the differences.
100%.
That's one of the differences between the Rogue and the Grand Canyon is on the Rogue, most people still have their own boats. There are some people who you can rent, but that's rare. Grand Canyon, almost everyone's renting boats. People are telling their friends, yeah, come along. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. You'll figure it out. Yeah. But I think still, like, there's people who should be there, but there are also people who should be there at normal flows. But now that Bedrock's lower and it's class four, it may not be appropriate. And it's true. It totally depends on flows. Like in normal flows, I can see being class three. But the flows I saw that, and you saw that we both saw that, it's a class four rapid.
I just was talking, like I said, no one has told me that who actually works in there who I've talked to is called a class four.
No, you can't ask Grand Canyon guides because they're just all like, I'm a Grand Canyon guide. Everything's class two.
No, like, Grand Canyon guides think it's higher. They want to make it sound cool. It's like, yeah, Lava Falls is class five. That's class four. Yeah. Clister's class five.
Mark's saying the same thing you said. Seems like a one move class three with class four consequences. It is a one move. It is one move. It's one difficult move.
Not difficult.
It's one. It is difficult move. It's not class
Pull
five
to the
difficult.
Right side of the river.
And at the right angle and start in the right place.
It's not even the
right
angle.
It requires position, angle,
and it requires you to point your nose towards the right shore and keep it pointed towards the right shore.
It requires
not like no, this. Let's watch this video.
You keep saying that it requires that plus being in the right place
on the right side of the river.
No,
you have to be on the right side of the river.
We're both entrenched in our opinion, and we're not going
to
bend.
Let's go back to the stop. Wait, go back so we can see his entrance.
Yeah. So are his
Here
angles
he is,
already wrong?
First of all, right there, terrible. He's pulling upstream.
Yeah, his angles. He started at the wrong angle.
And then he turns the other way, pulls upstream, and he's getting a little better. He's actually
now he's pulling to the left.
Yeah, his angle to pulling to the left is pretty good there. And he pulls and just nails the hole right in the middle. Nice job.
He doesn't even hit the rock and flips.
No, yeah.
But this is what I was worried about when I was there, is if a boat flips and goes in that eddy and it's upside down. We had a boat go in the eddy but didn't flip, and it was a real difficult thing. And it was a bunch of river guides who were like pretty talented. But if a boat flips and goes in the eddy and it's upside down, that's a really big endeavor to even get that boat to where you can deal with it and then flip it in kind of a scary spot. So this is a nasty consequence. Like, nobody's hurt, but I mean, it's a pretty bad consequence.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I'm laughing about another comment.
You stop looking at the comments, dude. Look at me. Pay attention. We're talking.
Look at you. Is that why you get jealous? Ooh, it's getting dark.
This is super not fun. I'm surprised they didn't camp here. I guess you can't camp here. No, you can camp downstream a little bit. But this is brutal.
I wonder how long they were there for.
I mean, there's that rapid just downstream, like a couple miles, right? Whatever it's called.
Yeah, you can camp above Dubendorf, though.
Yeah, Dubendorf. Yeah, there's rapid, but man, that's brutal.
But I mean, from the beginning, he never pointed towards the right shore.
Yeah, he's a class three boater. He would do great in class three.
No, this is class three. He didn't even point towards the right shore. He never even started properly.
It's because so you can run class three without a downstream angle. Like you could like class okay. like
so
downstream
Zach, you're saying if something requires you
no.
to, like you if you can't run it by fairing upstream, it's class four is what I'm
no, I'm not saying that. I'm maybe saying if you have to downstream ferry, if like the move definitely requires a downstream ferry and there's a consequence if you don't make the move, I'd call that class four.
You don't have to downstream ferry here.
You don't have to. We're going to get to that. I know. You don't have to, but most people kind of have to. It's all very right. few people in the world that can push this move. I'm just going to we're going to get to that, but come on. It doesn't take class three to go point your boat the hole and send me sideways. Marco, are you on Aaron's team?
Yes, pretty much. He's saying that the guy hits the hole just totally sideways.
I mean, I'm sure he did great in the entire rest of Grand Canyon. He can do class
three. I bet
he
didn't. I bet he did one of those spin around down Hanses. I bet there's because you have to. There's other places you have to do a pull. You have to do a pull at what is it? House Rock. You have to do. You do that pull to the left at Hans. You do a pull. You're doing a pull most likely at Horn. You're doing a. You might be doing a pull at Crystal if you're running right, which these days no.
Okay, I found that, just so you know, now that my YouTube just shows me Bedrock Carnage videos for days.
So. No, there's so many of them. I know, it's amazing.
This show could just turn into Bedrock Show.
Thanks, Mark.
Come on, Mark, dude.
And I think going up above, Big B is right. And I think that is the thing, is that they're not used to the craft. And this is kind of what I go back to, is those outfitters running the boats. The big difference on the Rogue is most of those people have used their boats a bunch and they know how to row their boats. These people on Grand Canyon, they rent these big rigs and they don't know how to run them, which is a problem.
That's true.
And a lot of people, they don't even have their own boats, a lot of them. It'd be interesting if you got away, if you just and I'm not saying I want this, make this very clear. Okay. If you just got rid of the outfitting on Grand Canyon where you could just pay for someone and everyone only can bring their own boats.
It would raise the level of boaters.
90% of these problems would be gone. 90%.
Because everybody would have to they'd have to own things. They have to bring it. They'd have to do their own. They'd be experts. You couldn't just let a group of jokers come down there, rent some boats and figure it out.
I was talking to someone who recently rented for one of these, and they were talking to the one of the rental companies, and they were talking about how much it's changed over the years. I guess they're saying that people are way less experienced now. The questions they're getting now are way different than before. The questions like, how do we run these rapids? And they're also saying they're getting a lot of questions like, people want to get off the river early because something happens. So they want them. It sounds like being an outfitter, outfitting has become much more challenging because the people are less experienced.
We're seeing it. We're getting a lot of inquiries about people who want to take classes with us because they got a Grand Canyon permit and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
We're seeing that. Like, oh, we got a permit. We need to go train with you now. So, like, we're seeing that more and more as well. I agree. Most boaters don't run heavy 18-foot rafts. I would say these boats are not that heavy. These are like, I would call them 18-foot rafts. I wouldn't call them heavy, personally.
Versus what you run, but for them, they are heavy and they're a lot bigger.
But that doesn't affect whether it's class 3 or 4. It's still, I'm still saying this is a class 4 raft, but this is a class 4 moves. Pivot.
Yeah, I agree, Mark Rivers. Yeah, you should be able to pivot 90 degrees and hit it. I totally agree. And that suggests to me this person
doesn't have experience. It's not about pivoting 90 degrees. It's pivoting it and holding it.
No, he's just saying the person just kept rowing sideways into the hole and hit the hole sideways. They even tried to turn around and like, hey, I'm going to hit this sideways. I need to turn and square up to it. They just kept rowing into it sideways. That's what he's saying.
It's like, that's a typical deer in the headlamps type of thing. Where they like, you see the hole and you don't know what to do.
Class 3 boat should turn, you know, to turn your boat straight, even at least try to. That person's just rowing into it sideways.
I would say class 4 boaters should.
So class 3 should know to turn to hit big wave straight.
What? Certainly a class 4 boater should be able to do all these things. A class 3 boater, I'm going to give them some, you know, some.
I think it sounds like that to me sounds like a class 2 boater, what you're talking about. Class 2 boaters, yes, I agree. Class 3 boaters, no.
Okay. I can't know because it losses. I think what happens is they just get like deer in the headlamps. They don't, and it's really hard to spin a big boat like quickly. It's not an easy task. It's easy for you guys because you're all like, I'm Aaron Cavagnolo. I'm Sawyer Cole. But, I mean, it's hard for a class 3 boater to do those things. It's moving harder. No, just sooner. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it takes time. It's harder
totally
to make,
true, but my point
it's
is
harder
they
to make that
try.
Turn.
They didn't even try to not hit it.
Because he was trying to pull to the left and just miss it.
I mean, he's in the middle of it, pulling more into the middle of it. It's like, dude.
I think Sean's on my side. He understands that adjusting different boats and loads is a class 4 skill. This requires a higher level of skill to run this
boat. Sean, I would agree with you, but I think Mark Rivers has a really good point in that it's been a week and a half. Over a week and a half, you should be able to adjust to the load.
What if nobody, like, no, come on.
Yeah, I agree, Mark.
What if you don't, totally. Nobody's teaching you, you're just... If nobody's teaching you,
well, then you're not a class 3 boater. That's going like, then you're not a class 3 boater.
But even if there's somebody to teach you, that person is on vacation. They don't want to be teaching everybody the whole time how to like boat.
Would you call the Grand Canyon big water class 3?
With a couple class 4s. Is this true? The first thing you should learn is to hit things straight.
Maybe not. Well, I think you're being too semantical with his point. He's like early on. You're getting to semantics to try to make sure.
Because I'm not always hitting. I'm not always hitting holes straight. Like I might use holes. I might hit them at an angle to do something. It depends on the hole. I think a thing you should learn early in your boating career is if there's a massive hole in front of you. If you're not going to avoid it, you should turn around. I think that would be true. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're getting into the comments now. Renee can turn the crap, have option BC. Yeah. I think it's. Yep. Yep. This is all good comments.
Totally. And that's why, but Blue Puma, I agree. And that's why it's still class 3. It's just a different type of river.
It's not class 3. All right. Let's move on. We only have half an hour for the show.
So if it's class. If it's class 4, then the guides down there should have no problem hopping in other class 4 rivers, right?
The guides that are crushing it. I mean, here's the thing is, even if it's class four, there's people that are succeeding, but there's like a bit of luck involved. Like they're not crushing.
I mean, a lot of the guides who only work down there, if they're able to style that every time, then they should have no problem going to other places.
That's not true.
Because it's pretty much class three. Grand Canyon is pretty much class three.
Yeah, and they don't get very much practice.
Guides only work Grand Canyon can go do class three other places and usually be okay.
Yeah, but they can't do class four. Just because they run one class four.
Grand Canyon is class three.
Just because they run one or two class fours every 20 days doesn't make them a class four voter. Okay, let's watch this so we can.
Yeah.
We know we disagree.
Hey, were you able to download that one I gave to you?
Yeah, I got that stuff. We'll get to that.
Well, that's a great shot of it.
Yeah, it is a really good shot. Bad, good. Yeah, it doesn't look that hard. This is a pro boat, it looks like. And they're doing a downstream ferry. I think the position is good. They need to keep rowing, though. It just like stop, and now their angle's off. It's like they stopped doing things. I think they thought they were done already. Like they're like, oh, I did some pulls and I'm done.
Have you watched this before?
Yeah, I watched it just before the show. I was shocked. I thought they made it the whole time. And all of a sudden, oh no.
I like how the person had their feet on the front until the last minute.
Which is casual. I mean, so now what gets me, have you seen this one before, Aaron?
Never.
They're underwater for a long time.
Should we fast forward through the underwater
part? No. I think that...
Is this really a person underwater?
This is a person with a GoPro. They're underwater.
Is it a helmet cam? I hope it's a chest cam. Because this is a helmet cam.
Maybe it's a chest cam. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, especially if you have a low float PFD, this is an unpleasant swim here for sure.
Clearly, they were concerned about it because the person in the front had their.
Maybe it's a cam in his hand. Look, his zipper's undone on his PFD.
He's still got his little way around.
Yeah, him. Yeah, that's an unpleasant swim for sure. That's the left side. Okay. And then let me see if I have this other thing ready to go. Oh, wait, I have it right here. Sorry. I'll start uploading this other one. Before we get to it, we got it. So this is the footage. This is the footage you sent me, Aaron. This is one of Aaron's friends who's a legend. Like, he's a badass. I don't know if he wants his name said on our show. He might be insulted that, you know.
No, I think Robbie's
embarrassed to be on our show. Not insulted, but embarrassed to be on this dorky show of ours. But he's doing great so far. I should probably fast forward to where the rapid is.
There's a little rock there. It's always those little rocks at the top to mess you up.
All right. Do you think, is this no scout?
Yeah, no scout. They don't scout. Most outfitters don't scout it.
And so he's doing it on a push. I mean, this really shows me that, like, if you're in the right place, the right angle,
the right momentum, muscle,
it's really not that hard. And just maintain. Like, it's just, he entered, like, right, pretty high.
The nice thing about pushing, though, is you can pull back with your left oar to keep that angle if you have to. You know what I mean? He's doing that right now. He's
pulling
back.
It's easy to keep the angle.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just crushing it. And, like, not even rowing that hard.
Yeah. And then he's like, he's in the eddy. He's like pulling back now.
Yeah.
He's pulling back to get back in the current.
So my takeaway here, Aaron, is that
it's class three.
A very skilled boater that has, Robbie has a very high level of skill. It's not hard. It feels like class three to him because he's a very high level voter, and it's like nothing to him. And that's how it probably is too. You just get there and you're like, oh my God.
I'm going to say this too. Here's the other thing. If you pause right now, just pause it. Why I think it's class three is you can read it from the top. You can see down. You don't have to get on the scout this rapid. I'm right here. you can see where to go. Someone said, hey, yeah, you go right at bedrock.
If you're really good at reading water, you can.
If you're good at it, just go to the, just you can see.
Not everybody can read this, Aaron. You have to be very good at reading
water. It's much more clear than like House Rock or Crystal or these other rapids where it's much more necessary to scout. And that says to me it should be harder. But this one, you can see from the top. You're like, oh, this is where I'm doing. Here we go.
I mean, Aaron, you're kind of cocky.
No.
You're like, oh, you don't need to scout. It's like class 3. While people are getting their asses handed to them. You're like, oh, it's just like, you know, it's just a simple little thing. People should scout.
This is an 18-foot boat, Heidi.
Yeah. I'll get her in the comments again. Nice. Aaron, people should scout this 100%.
No. I think it
depends. Robin doesn't have to scout. You don't have to scout, but this should be scouted. It deserves that respect.
On a private trip, I would probably scout it with friends just because they haven't seen it.
Yeah, but those of you that get to do it all the time.
You do it like 6 times a year, Zach, if you're doing it a lot.
Yeah,
you run a rapid 6 times in a year. That's not that
many. Yeah, but like people like you and Robbie, like Robbie's probably run it 100 plus times. So it's, you know, not a big deal.
But Zach, I'm going to say this. OU, they bring these baggage boaters down who run like one trip a year, never run it before. They don't scout it. They say, hey, stay right. They don't have problems with it. And these are people they're bringing off the street.
They're not bringing them off the street.
Yeah, they literally are bringing them off
the
street.
They are not bringing off the street. That is
they're totally guides, right. But they're not guides who work.
Like, I think OU is this, like a small niche company and they can like pull in ballers like, oh, hey.
They don't pull in ballers. Trust me, they don't pull in ballers because I hear the complaints. It's like, it's annoying working with these people who don't have.
I think, hey, Aaron, I think you're spreading misinformation and rumors. This sounds like some fake news to me.
Okay.
Look, I got at least marks on my side on something.
So Mark Rivers thinks you should scout this.
Yes. You like. You those of you that are cocky commercial boaters, you don't have to scout, but come on.
11 feet? Is it 11 footers? 11
footers? I'm using 11 footers. 10, 10 and a half.
I think 11 footers are pretty common, I believe. It depends on where your pins are set up, too.
It's 100% where your pins are set up. It's 100%.
That's in general.
But in general, 11s. I have some guides that are really stoked on 10 and a halfs right now, but like right in that range for most 11s. Yeah, not the Home Depot fucking lot. They did bring Dan into. I mean, Dan's a baller. Come on, this is child's play for Dan. 3 boats we never run it and no issues depending on the flow. Sawyer.
Yeah, thanks, Sawyer. Except I made you pull to the right. Pull to the right.
Did they have no issues? Like, or did they like crush it? Because they may have like barely gotten by.
I agree with Mark's point here. Next one. Let's keep going with the comments.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, take your time. Talk about it. I'm a big fan of, like, get a couple boats down. Let some people watch you do it.
This is all I'm going to say, and I disagree with Zach, is because what happens is the people who know what they're doing go first, and the people who don't know are doing go second, and they scout it from shore, which looks totally different, and then they get up and pull out in the middle of the current. They're like, I don't know where the rocks are, and then they have to guess. And they're totally off, and then they have a terrible.
Oh, mind. So you think you should let the people who are struggling follow a good boater instead of watching them run it?
I think it's as helpful to follow someone who provides a good line as it is to scout and watch.
I agree. I think that's a better technique. There's a lot of boaters who
they don't do that.
They don't want to do that. They want to see somebody run it from the shore.
And like,
it's better for them to scout it and see the line. And follow somebody for sure, but they're nervous and they want to watch somebody do it, which, hey, cool, do it. I'm not going to force you to do it a certain way.
It's just,
but it is better to follow somebody.
It's a lot easier just to
but it's also somebody. Why when you're scouting, you got to look for markers.
They look different. And we've talked about this.
You can find markers.
No, but
you can look for like,
and here's
you can find markers.
But Zach, when you watch, and I would say like 80% of people I watch when they scout, they do this. They go walk down, look over from an angle, and then they turn around and they walk back to the get in their boat.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll look over their shoulder a couple times as they go back.
Aaron, Those are people that are class three boaters doing a class three scout.
And
this is a class four rapid requiring a class four scout.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if you're going to scout it, make it a useful scout. And by useful scout, what I mean is,
but Aaron,
walking back up, you got to take the Ben Warford approach.
That Aaron, that's a class four skill, like proper scouting,
multiple
markers. How to scout properly.
We teach it in our beginning guide school that I teach.
It's but nobody remembers it. Nobody remembers it.
Yeah, they
do. No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, a few people do, but they're not like, do you teach worms or dorms?
No.
What do you
teach? Those things are confusing. I just be like, hey, when you're going back up, you want to know where you're going, right? You want to get a good view. Well, how do you get a good view? You get out into the river, go up on some rocks and get as far out and look and
find the spots. But not everybody goes to an Aaron Cavanello guide school.
No, but we talk about it now. Everyone's going to be like, yeah, get the view downriver as much as possible. How it's going to be looking when you're out there in your raft. And make
get
sure
the
you
view,
can still pick up.
Get down to river level.
Yeah, river
and
level.
And get that view. Don't stand
from
way
upstream.
High.
Yeah, from upstream looking down on it.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, when I scout, I walk down. I make sure there's a clear route. I'm like, okay, that's the line. And as I walk up, I'm just like looking down. Like, I take a lot of view on my walk back up. Because the most important thing is that entrance and get my markers right. And so, like, once I know the rapid's clear and there's a line, as I'm walking back up, I, like, look down. Okay, see where I have to enter. I take a few more steps. Look down. I'm constantly looking back and down where the entrance is at the best angle I can get at that shoots downstream. I'm with
you. And this is the second thing I'm going to say. When I watch people walk way too far down the rapid to scout a lot of rapids where you don't – it doesn't help you at all. Why are you walking all the way down there to look at the big hole? You know you need to miss the big hole. Why are you going to go down?
No. Like, oh, it depends, Aaron. It depends. No, like, at Upset, I was glad I walked all the way down to look at the hole because I didn't see the hole from the main scout. But I walked all the way down there to be like, oh, yeah, that's a pretty big hole. That's good to know how big that is. Like, Greenwall.
I've never seen
you need to walk. Whatever. I don't care. At Greenwall, you need to go all the way to the bottom to see how big the hole at the bottom is. Somebody needs to go down there and get eyes on that hole because it can be super nasty or super choke. You need to scout the hole.
I think you need to know where the route is. But I will say this. I'll say fine, go down and look at the bottom. But people spend 90% of their time at the bottom staring at the thing at the bottom.
That they should not. That doesn't help. Go down, like reconnaissance the rapid and get back. But also, Aaron. We're talking about scouting rapids like these class four rapids, but when
not
you're
the class
doing like,
three rapids like Bedrock.
Okay, when you're doing like difficult runs, exploratory runs, you definitely need to scout the whole thing. And not always, but like
you don't have time. You got to scout as minimal as possible because you got to make miles.
You need to get eyes on everything. You need to see like is there wood
down
there somewhere?
Yep.
So if you can get up there and see it all, but a lot of times it requires like, man, I need to scout, and sometimes I need to like get eyes on what's around the bend, depending on the run. Like, so don't tell people just to like get out and look at it like quick and don't
see the whole rapid. I think mostly what you're looking at, on, particularly on class three rapids, mm-hmm. It's just the entrance. If you're, you want to make sure there's no wood down there. I can't see down. If it's harder rapid, you want to go.
But or like class three, big terminal holes.
Yeah, like, do you need to go to walk all the way down to the rock on Bedrock and look at the rock? No, you don't.
There you don't.
No,
but it's a known entity. It's pretty obvious. But Upset, I did. I was like, I think there's some. I didn't see it from the scout, and just me. I was the only one who went down there. I walked all the way down there, and I was like, I came back. I'm like, yeah, there's a big hole. Everyone, don't go in there. The Collier or length theorem is that what? Is it a theorem? It's an equation. Yeah. Yeah, use that. That's
postulate. It's really
shore scouting. Yeah, it's a skill thing.
I agree. Sean, totally agree.
Mark, thanks for bringing this up. His name is actually Mark Rivers, PT, DPT, badass.
Good so point, Mark. Yeah, Zach, you don't teach it in your class?
We do. But
proper scouting.
In education, when people first learn things, it's sometimes like too much information over their heads. So, like, in our class three school, we introduce scouting and we talk about it. And we cover in full, but people don't always retain all that information. And so it's the class four school, when they've already had some information, they're ready to absorb the rest of it, and we can really dive into proper scouting.
See, the number one thing that I talk about with scouting, my number one point of emphasis is as you're walking back up, it's imperative that you go out and you look. That's the most important part of it. And then we hit that over and over and over again. Like, that is it. When you're scouting, what's the most important thing?
Is it more important than setting safety?
Yes.
How dare you? Safety first, Aaron.
Because I want someone sitting down there with that throw bag that they can't even reach me with.
No, yes. The throw bag isn't the safety. That's not necessarily the safety. The safety could be like a plan that has everybody going together. Like setting a figuring out the proper safety for running the rapid
is number one.
Yeah, setting safety, having a safety plan. Setting safety does not mean take a throw bag
to
the bottom.
Setting safety, Zach, means putting someone at the bottom, setting up a safety.
No. It means having a safety plan.
If someone says to me on a rapid, I think most people agree, hey, are you going to set safety? Can you set safety for me? All right, yeah, I'll go to the bottom.
I agree. In the way I'm explaining it, having a safety plan is number one.
Okay, safety plan. That's obvious. When you're walking back up, you're like, how are we going to run this? You talk about it, you'll just be like, let's not talk about anything. Let's not talk about how we're running.
So like people typically teach worms, water, obstacles, route, markers, safety. I teach ohms, obstacles, markers, safety. Go down, look for obstacles, find your markers for the entrance, and have a safety plan.
Yeah, I can't remember ohms. It's just pretty obvious. It's pretty easy. Go look at the rapid. Okay, you looked at the rapid. You got where you want to go? Cool. Now, let's just make sure you got some markers as you go back up. You don't need some silly acronym. Try to remember the acronym ohms. What does it ohms stand for? I don't know. Swim. I mean, swim. Always swim a rapid. There you go. Thanks. I agree. That's a good way.
Falls. Do you know, we named that hole at the bottom of Greenwall Harvey after Harvey Young.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's what he's referring to. The hole at the bottom of Greenwall named Harvey. That's some brilliant stuff. Don't forget to like and subscribe while you're doing it. Some whole guy came in, almost died at Bedrock.
Are you sure it was Bedrock and it wasn't at President Harding? I thought it was President Harding, but I could be mistaken.
You have to look at the big hole at Crystal.
Crystal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, if you run left, you don't even have to scout, though.
It's funny. We scattered from the big observation deck up high, and I did walk down there and, like, get eyes on the whole thing.
But that's a classic, going up high to scout Crystal. That's not that helpful, really. Yeah.
So I went down and like got eyes on it. I was good from the high level. I was going to go right, and when I went down low, I was like, "Oh, left looks super smooth."
Yep, you got to stay right.
Taking account, fast water is moving. Yeah, I mean that's obviously the problem. They just underestimate it. Yeah. I don't think it's going to help. I've used drones a few times.
Yeah, we tried to use a drone that one time.
Which time?
When we were scouting Illinois Falls.
I crashed in the tree. look, line, markers, visualize. The Sawyer Cole method. Yeah, there's nothing like naming a method after yourself to really make us want to use it more.
LLMV.
Look, line, markers. Why visualize? And where's your safety, Sawyer?
I'm going to say this, Sawyer.
Where's your safety, Sawyer?
I think visualizing gets me into trouble. I think just know the spots you want and then go up. Don't try to figure out how you're going to run the rapid from shore. Just know where you can go and where you can't go. And then you enter and figure out what your momentum's taking you, what your crew's doing, and adjust accordingly and have a general idea. Because I see too many people who have visualized, this is what I'm going to do with the rapid. And then they right at the top, hit a little rock, it's fun. And then they're trying to get back on that line instead of just being present and moving.
All right, we have 5 minutes. Let's watch one more video. We can bicker about Bedrock later on. Hey, do us a favor. If you're watching, just write Aaron or Zach in the comments who you agree with. If it's class 3, class 4, tell us what you think the rating of Bedrock is so that Aaron and I can
survey. Maybe we need to do a real survey. I agree, Mark, and I'm a fan of visualization of stuff. I just think you have to be careful with running a rapid because when you get off the line and moving to class B, class C, class D, like if you've done something a lot, I think it's helpful. Oh yeah, look at this. Is this a pack raft?
I think it's an inner tube.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is Michael Cohen's trip, I think.
I'm checking my text really quick. I just got a text when I have to leave. Okay, cool. All right, I got to look. I got to go in like 5 minutes. All right, you ready? Oh, it's a how come nobody ever got into inner tubing with a paddle? That's a Sawyer inner tube? Are you looking at the comments right now?
Not anymore. I already looked at him. He's got a nice line. That's a really nice line. Ooh.
Now some, I haven't watched this yet. Somebody sent it to us for the show. I was hoping there'd be carnage. We don't usually review success.
Are you allowed to drone? Are you allowed to drone?
No. Oh, yeah, this is a drone. I just realized that. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a wing boat?
I think it's a Sotar. Oh, it is a. Is that a wing tube? That is badass.
It's cool getting drone footage of it, even though you're not supposed to be droning out there. But at this point, is it okay? Are you out of the wilderness now?
You are in the wilderness. Well, it's complicated.
The wilderness ends right down there, right?
No. The wilderness starts at upstream. That was just cool. That wasn't a like carnage or anything, but that was just a good line. The wilderness starts around Mule Creek Canyon, but the wilderness boundary ends at the wild and scenic boundary.
And this isn't the end of the wild scenic, just down here. That's where the motorboats start coming up.
No, it's still wild and scenic. You can have motorboats on wild and scenic. The whole river's wild and scenic from like above the put in to pass the takeout. But usually it's a level of wilderness and wild and scenic layered on top.
Okay.
So it's both. On the Rogue, the wilderness boundary ends at the wild and scenic boundary. So when you're in the wild and scenic corridor, the quarter mile on each side, you're technically not a wilderness. Sorry, that's a lot of a jargon. But even though that's the case, you still can't fly a drone here. There's like rules against it. So
they probably didn't know. I'm guessing they didn't go. It's cool footage though, because you don't
see it. Doesn't make it okay that they didn't know.
No, it doesn't make it okay, but they probably didn't know. You know, and like, but it's nice to have this footage.
Dude, you're crushing me, Aaron. Class three plus. I here's the thing, everyone.
I guess everyone wants to be badass plus five boaters, and you shouldn't call me that term. So everyone's
doing I just think you're all be in that category. You're all just so. You know, I need to rethink this a little bit. I still think it's class four. But I mean, I respect the disagreement.
The skill scout can look upstream and pick a line. Well, yeah, you know, you can. You can do it. It's just, Patrick, yeah, totally. Yeah, a skill boat, yeah, you know. But
it depends on the rapid.
It's helpful. It's just helpful if you can to get that looking downstream at it.
I mean, it depends on the rapid and the difficulty of the river. I can scout like same cesspool, you know, and be like, oh, yeah, that's easy. I don't need to like find markers. You know, I can scan a bunch of rapids and just get out and be like, oh, yeah, there's a line. But there's rapids like Clavey or I don't know, Locomotive or where it's more imperative. The class four and five stuff sometimes is imperative, but a lot of rapids you can just like look around a little bit. And the wild mile is just like big water continuous. You're just like.
But Zach, I would say like if you're trying to run guillotine corkscrew on Cherry Creek, you could scout that from the bottom and go up and run it and do it after a scout from the bottom, not having looked at it.
But how do you? You're already at the.
I know. I'm just saying you could if you could teleport yourself. If you had to walk around some big rock outcropping or something.
No, a lot of. I mean, but there's a lot of rapids where literally just like looking at it really quick and you got it. You're good. But there's some rapids where you need to find your markers.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Oh Jesus! All right, we're gonna end the show. This is getting out of control.
Zach, this is where you're having a goose egg today.
Nonsense. Right, I gotta go. Close the show now.
Thank you guys.
If you guys keep disagreeing with me, we'll cut 5 minutes off every time.
Yeah. All right, we're down to 54 minutes. Zach's in pouting. He's gonna go pout now. You just ruined his evening. He's gonna go have to like hang out with a bunch of outfitters and tell him how he was wrong. Tell him how he's wrong. Hey, if you guys haven't, make sure you like, review, and ring that bell so you get notified anytime something new comes on. For those of you that are members, that means also if we do one of the every once in a while we'll do one of those members only shows where Zach has some video he doesn't want to put out there in the world for everyone to see. And anything else, Zach? Are we gonna be back next week?
We are. Thanks everybody for watching. We really appreciate everybody watching the show. It's really fun for us. I met a bunch of people at the show this week who came up and said we love the show. Thank you, everybody who watches it. We really it's fun, it's great for us, and it means a lot to Aaron and I. Yeah. Next week we'll have a Tuesday Q&A show. We'll get back to our regular schedule because I'm back home for a while. Tuesday Q&A show, Friday regular show. We'll probably do some members only show. A lot of cool stuff coming up. It's been a long hiatus for 2 months of being gone, so I'm excited to just like hit the ground running.
Yeah. All right.
That's all I have. I have one question for you, Aaron.
What is it?